Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 129, stanzas 1 and 3. Rejoice, ye people, homage give. To God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. 1 and 3 of Psalter 129.
Congregation, the portion to be read this evening can be found in the book of Psalms, thereof Psalm 24. A psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, most high God, who does dwell in that high and holy place, of which we may commemorate in this day, in this evening hour, when we are gathered round about thy holy word in our homes and in thy house, that we may consider that a second step of thy exaltation, after that thou didst arise from the dead by thine own power and the power of thy Father, that thou didst lift thyself up even unto heaven. We cannot fathom that glory that thou dost exist in thy high, in thy heavenly place. Then it is for those who have received a renewed body, one that has no more mortality, that they may see it, that they may enjoy it, that they may be able to endure it with thee for a never-ending eternity. And we are yet here upon this world. Oh, that thou may look upon us in that place where thou art, for thou dost say, I dwell in the high and the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. O Lord, that thou may give us such a spirit, for thou didst come in great humility thyself, to humble thyself in the midst of this world. Then thou didst suffer for the sin of thy church in that human nature, and that thou hast received also the reward in that same nature. O Lord, wilt thou give us instruction in this evening in the blessedness of the meaning thereof, that it may give unto us that true saving hope, that hope that shall never be made ashamed. Oh, that we and our children may be included in those blessings that are so necessary for the welfare of our soul and our body, for that great eternity that is soon coming upon us. Thou didst say unto thy disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then it is thy desire that thou didst ask it of thy own Father. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest unto me from the foundation of the world. O Lord, that we also may be included in that great high priestly prayer, that thou dost continue to supplicate unto thy Father with. Oh, that we may receive an interest therein, that we may receive a seeking heart, or a desire, a longing for that blessed favor and communion with thee. Oh, that we may be given eyes to behold the shortness and the vanity of all that is here below, the things that we do look upon with our eyes, and that we do covet with our hearts. Oh, that we may be given to see that they are but the riches of this world that are passing away, the finest gold that cannot compare to that which thou hast received and will give unto thy own church.
O Lord, wilt thou remember us then because we are so foolish? And we are so hard-hearted, we are so carnal-hearted, and we are of the earth earthy, and we cleave to everything that is here below, except that thou dost give us eyes to see and to behold and a heart, oh, that we may understand and that we may begin to love and to seek, oh, a will to make that good choice that chooses for the things that are of great substance. Oh, do it, Lord, for thy own name's sake. Revive that work also in the life of thy own children, for thou hast indeed given it unto them, but it is so often that they are full of sloth. Oh, they are full of all their own sin and shortcomings. So often thou dost have, therefore, to hide thy face from them, and then there is nothing that goes out and that may be seen in the midst of the visible church, and that it is thy own people, and that there is a treasure that is lying in the bottom of their heart. Oh, that thou wouldst stoke that fire. Oh, that thou wouldst blow upon it, that it may revive once again as the corn. Oh, Lord, that thou may grant us each and every one that which we do not seek and do not find by nature, that is of thy Holy Spirit. It is thy own work, O Lord, from the beginning to the end, the work that thou wilt do in thy exaltation, to make the application by the power of thy most Holy Spirit of all that thou hast accomplished here below. O Lord, glorify then thy own name, and glorify it in the hearts of each and every one of us, both young and old together. Do remember all the afflicted and the sick ones in this world. Thou knowest their places in the days in which we do live. Lord, that thou may thyself arise. O, give us in the first place as nations to see thy judgments, to acknowledge thy hand therein. Oh, that we may be given to see and to feel, and that we are but creatures, and that we are dependent upon thee for everything. Oh, give us to see and to feel, that our sin that rises up before the most holy and righteous God, oh, give us to turn therefrom unto thee, the true, the living God, the King of thy church, who sitteth upon thy throne of glory. Thou who hast the heart of all men, but also of kings in thy hand, could it please thee to turn also our rulers once again, that we may receive laws in our lands, that may turn us as peoples to thy word and to thy testimony. For blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Look thou upon all those that mourn. Oh, many are the losses of this world. Oh, that thou may instruct us in the seriousness of sin and in that awfulness of that great disease with its terrible consequences, and that we may learn to seek for that redemption which thou hast provided in thy dear and only begotten Son. Look thou upon our children and our youth, the parents at home, the teachers at school, and do strengthen each and every one in all that they must do, and give them courage and patience to continue unto the end. Wilt thou be with us also in this evening hour, when we are gathered round thy everlasting word and testimony. Lord, oh, that thou may give us a little impression of thy holiness and of thy greatness, of who and what we are before thee. Oh, that there may be a cry from the bottom of our hearts, that we may be received by thee, by that free and sovereign grace that thou dost proclaim in the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, Christ Jesus. Oh, that we may be given a revelation, a sight, a taste of him and of his redemption, and that hope and that faith may be born, that it may revive, and that it may glorify and magnify thee. Oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake, forgiving all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. And firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. All the stanzas of Psalter 57. congregation, the words of our text for this Ascension Day service can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Psalm 24, and thereof the verses 7 and 8. Psalm 24, verses 7 and 8. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. So far the words of our text. The entrance of the King of glory through the everlasting doors. First, the conditions for this entrance. And second, the wonder of this entrance. The entrance of the King of glory through the everlasting doors. First, the conditions for, and second, the wonder of this entrance. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall go up to his sanctuary? Who shall go up to the house of the Lord? Who shall go up to church? That is what we ask, children. We ask that now. Maybe you say, Father, Mother, do you have the list? Where is the list? Are we allowed to go to church today, Sunday? Are we allowed to go to the house of the Lord on Ascension Day? But this psalm that was not written just in the past months, this psalm that was written very many years ago, who wrote that psalm? That was David. And then there was no coronavirus at the time that David has written this psalm. Thus, what was the occasion? There are some, we cannot be certain actually exactly when it was, but there are some that believe that it was at that time that that ark of the Lord that was brought by David back unto the city of Jerusalem. The Dutch contakening that says that it was when David, he had heard from the Lord that Solomon, he would build the temple of the Lord upon the Mount Moriah, that then David, he writes this psalm by way of prophecy, because it speaks there about the hill of the Lord. And that hill, it speaks about as the holy place, his holy place. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Thus David does not exclude anyone because of any virus. No, David, he says that hill of the Lord, he says that is a holy place. You know what that means, young people, children? That means separate. When something is holy, that means that it is separated for a special cause. That does not mean that it is actually in and of itself a special thing. If we think about the cups that the king of Babylon was drinking out of, then those cups made of very precious metals, they were not in and of themselves anything special, but they were dedicated. They were dedicated to the Lord, and therefore they were holy, and therefore in his mockery, then he was punished by the Lord. Here we read of the hill that is the holy place, not because that hill is in itself anything different than any other hill. But that is a hill that is also dedicated. It is dedicated by the King. It is received as dedicated by the Lord to be a hill that is for Him. What does David say? He says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, that is, the entire world is the Lord's. But in a very special way, then that hill, that was the hill that the Lord, He has received as His hill, that He would dwell in that place. The sanctuary of the Lord shall be on that hill. David says, who shall ascend into that hill? He says, who shall stand in His holy place? To stand, that is to stay. So that is not only just to enter as to who will go up that hill and into that sanctuary, but who will go into that sanctuary and who will remain in that sanctuary, that is, with the approval of the Lord, who will not be cast out of that sanctuary, just like that man who was cast out of that wedding because he did not have on a wedding garment. No, David says, who shall ascend and who shall stand there? Who shall remain there? Why does David say that? He says that because of the holiness and the righteousness of God who dwells there. Who? We made a list. Who is allowed to come to church? We say only 50 people. We hope that that is not for a long time. that is just temporary. But indeed, yeah, there is something that has to remain always. You know what that is? That is that we may not come to that place when we are sick. We may not come to the sanctuary of the Lord when we have a disease. And that is something that cannot be temporary. That is something that has to be for always. Otherwise what? Well, otherwise we say, well, we pollute. And we pollute that place. We pollute it with our sickness. David also makes a list. He says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. They are the conditions. They are the characteristics that a person, he may ascend into that holy hill, and he may enter there not only, but he may remain there, that he will not be cast out. Thus, He does not exclude persons because of earthly sickness, no. But He excludes persons because of sin. Unclean hands, impure hearts. The Lord is holy. The Lord is holy, and the Lord, He is dwelling in that high and holy place, and that is His sanctuary. And so he says they may not come there. But David, he is not speaking here merely about an earthly sanctuary. No, he speaks about something higher. Because our text that speaks about something that is eternal, it says, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. We know that there were doors of the temple, and the doors of the temple, they were more permanent than the doors of the tabernacle. It went through the wilderness from place to place. And yet those doors, they are not everlasting. No, those doors also will one day be cast down. They will be burned down to the ground. The Lord Jesus himself has spoken about that. And thus, what are the only everlasting doors that there are? Say, there is only one everlasting door. And that is that door, that is that entrance that goes into the everlasting abode, that goes into the eternal abode, that is the everlasting doors that David, he speaks about. So David, he speaks actually about the entrance into that heavenly temple. He speaks about the entrance into the presence of God himself in his heavenly habitation, where he dwells in the third heavens. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? What do we read about that in the Bible? Apostle John, he writes in the book of Revelation, there shall enter there nothing that defileth. There shall come there no sin into that holy place. And we see that. We can see that in the Bible already in Genesis 3. Because even that dwelling place, as it were, here upon the earth, in that garden where the Lord, he was dwelling with our first parents, then as soon as sin did enter into that place, then man, he was cast forth out of that garden and forth from the presence of the Lord. How difficult that must have been. Or what would have grieved the Lord more than sending our first parents out of that garden? The Lord had created them. The Lord had created them good. The Lord had created them in his own image. The Lord had created them for a purpose. That purpose was the communion with himself. He desired to have delight in his creature. And now that must have been so very grievous for the Lord, after sin had come into this world, and that he had to send his creature out of that garden and out of that communion. And yet he did it. And yet he did it. Say, why did he do it? He had to do it. He could not do otherwise. Because the Lord is holy, and to dwell with that which is unholy, that is not possible. That is a contradiction to his being. That is a contradiction to his existence. And thus sin that has closed the door, that has closed the door to that communion with him, that has closed the door to that dwelling with him, where he is in that place that he does delight to dwell, sin, that has closed the door to heaven. The sin of the devils, the fallen angels, they were cast out, and they may not come back again. And sin that has closed the door of heaven unto man after he was fallen, and that he is cast out of that presence and that holy communion with the Lord. Has that now changed? Is that now today different than it was in paradise? Has the Lord, we would say, humanly speaking, become more easy? that the Lord can now dwell with sin as he was not able to dwell before. That the Lord, he is, as it were, able to bear with it more. That the Lord, he has, well, he has decided that he is going to be a little bit more patient with it. Is that so? Because today, the Christianity of today says, well, the Lord knows who we are. The Lord knows that we are fallen. The Lord knows that we are not perfect creatures and we cannot keep his law perfectly. And the Lord, he accepts the good intention that is in our heart, and he looks over all of the sin. Even the Roman Catholic Church. Then they say in that if you have a sin that comes into your mind and immediately you push it away, do not dwell on it. As long as you immediately push it away, as soon as it comes in your mind, then they say that is not sin. Oh. What is that? That is nothing but a denial. It is a denial of the holiness of God. Man, he is depraved. What does the Bible say? He says, an evil tree that cannot bring forth good fruit. And thus man, when that sinful thought that is coming into his mind, then there is, even before that he pushes it away, in his flesh, in that evil flesh, there is already a disposition in the heart of man that there is some, well, he sees something to enjoy in it. That temptation that is, there is something that pulls him. There is something that is pleasurable in it. Why? Because that is that evil disposition that lives, that burns within our heart. And then he can, in that same moment, be trying to push it away, but that disposition that is still there. And thus it remains sin. That is now the man that the Lord, he is not able to dwell with. Did you ever feel that? Did you ever see the gates of heaven closed to you? As one who is full of disease, as one who is full of sin, as one who is impure, so that if that you would come into the presence of the Lord and of his holy angels, of his holy people, then you say, I will pollute them because of the disease that is within my very nature? Or did you ever see that angel standing at that garden with that flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life, that you say that, holy God, I am not able to enter into his presence? Or did you ever hear ringing in your ears that word of the Lord Jesus himself, when that people, those five wise virgins, they have gone in unto that marriage. And then it says, and the door was shut. Did you ever see yourself standing on the outside of that door? A door that was shut against you because of the evil, because of the guilt, because of the pollution of sin. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. What is that? Who says that? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Someone is speaking to the gates. He is speaking to the porter. The porter of the city who is standing by those gates. It is a command. And the gates, they have to go open. They have to be lifted up. Oh, you say, what gate is that? What city is that? And be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. What city is it, children? We're the only everlasting doors. They are not in the world. They're in no temple, not even the temple of Solomon. No, they are the gates of heaven. Oh, they are being commanded to be lifted up. They're being commanded here to be opened. Thus the command that is given to the porter, it is given to the heavenly porter. It is given to the angels that have command to keep the doors of heaven. They have a charge. They have a charge to keep the gate, the gates of bliss, the gates, the heavenly gates, where the Lord, He is dwelling. They are words of authority. They are not words of supplication, by which that someone he is supplicating, that he is begging, O Lord, may I enter? Wilt thou please open those doors for me? No, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. It is the order from the highest authority in heaven and in earth. What is happening? Who is approaching? Who is coming unto that city, that great, that eternal city, so that the doors, they have to make a wide entrance for someone who is coming? See the disciples? Oh, they are standing with the Lord Jesus. They are standing with Him for the last time upon the earth for 3 years. They have seen Him many times. And now in these last 40 days, He has visited them, and He has spoken unto them, and He has comforted them, and He has instructed them. And now we see the last time, and He is standing with them on that mount called Olivet. Oh, we see them standing. He is speaking. He gives to them His last rebuke concerning faith. He gives to them the last instruction that He will give to them here upon the world. One more time, He sends them in a final way. He sends them out as His servants into all the world, that they may bring His word, that they may preach that gospel. For the last time, they are gathered together. And then we see the Lord Jesus, suddenly He stands, He lifts up His hands, and He blesses, He speaks words of blessing to His disciples, and then suddenly they see Him. Oh, we cannot imagine what that was for them. But suddenly they see Him, and He begins to ascend. He goes higher and higher. And as they watch Him, oh, their eyes, they try to follow Him. They are so surprised. They did not know, they did not expect this to happen. Oh, their eyes, they are following Him as He ascends higher and higher until that unwelcome cloud that is coming between and taking away that blessed view. Then they cannot see Him anymore. And yet He goes higher. Yet He goes higher and higher. He goes past the first heavens, out of the atmosphere of this world. He passes through the second heavens. He goes through the stars and where the planets are. And then he ascends higher and higher, where no man can see. He ascends into that place where the eternal God does dwell. Then we hear, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Oh, the disciples, they cannot hear it. But the angelic hosts, oh, they have burst into singing. Oh, we can read that he sang when that they sang when he came down into heaven, and all those hosts, and they shall come again with him when he is descending for the second time upon the clouds of heaven. Oh, then great shall be the song of the angels. And then they have sung, because it says he shall come in like manner as he has gone into heaven. And so those angels, oh, they have begun to sing when the Lord Jesus has come. Oh, those gates, they have to go open. And the Lord Jesus, he is received through those everlasting doors into that place of eternal bliss. The King of glory shall come in. Oh, what happens there? Oh, we know, man, it is not written in the Word of God. Exactly what happens there. There we cannot see. That is something we cannot enter into. And yet we know that it was the coronation of Jesus. What does that mean? It was the time that the Lord Jesus, he receives a crown. What a day that is. When a man in this world will be given that lofty place by the Lord in this world to rule over men. And he is brought, even as Solomon was brought by David, and he was placed upon the throne, and the crown of David that was placed upon his head. Then he is given authority to do the work that he has to do in that kingdom. And so the Lord Jesus, on that day of ascension, when we read that he is ascending to a certain place, that is, that he is being set upon the throne, that is at the right hand of his Father. That means that he will be the right hand of his Father when he is carrying out for the sake of his Father the decree of his Father. And that greatest crown, the King of Kings, that is here placed upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, could the disciples have only seen it? When they were looking up, they had asked the Lord Jesus, even in that moment, that last time, the last question, O Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And what did he say? He said, it is not for you to know the times and seasons, but they were right. They were right. It was the time. It was the season in a way they had not expected. And that could not be explained to them in that moment. But indeed they were right. Because it was in that day, it was in that hour that kingdom that was restored unto Israel. No, the church, they could not hear. They could not see those singing angels. And yet, the church had seen it. Because David had seen it. David had seen it already so many years ago. David had seen it by the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord. So many years ago, then he did pen this song. Say, we do not know exactly what the circumstances were in this world, whether that was the bringing up of the ark or so on. There were other songs, apparently, that we know were sung at that time. So some say that, well, perhaps this one was not exactly that time. But one thing we are sure, and that David, he is prophesying, and that he is prophesying about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ through the everlasting doors. Thus, indeed, we know what the circumstances are about. That is the most important part. Oh, that is a song now that is inspired by that Spirit of the Lord with a blessed refrain. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It comes again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Thus, what is the picture? Oh, the Lord, he is coming back, just as a king who has gone out of the city, and he has gone to war. And when he has gone to war, then he has come back after having defeated all of his enemies. And that king, then he is welcomed by those who are in the city. Then they say, open the gates and let our king return, who has defeated all of the enemies against our kingdom. Thus, the Lord Jesus here, he is received into that heavenly bliss as the king, as the victorious king of his own church, the church that he has redeemed. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Oh, then he has taken upon himself when he went out the necessary conditions, the tools, what had to be, that was a human nature. Then he has taken them up, and now he is coming back, and he is being crowned in this human nature. It is in this nature that he has fought. It is in that human nature that he has fought with the tempter, with the powers of that infernal pit. Oh, David has prophesied long ago of the victory that the Lord Jesus was going to have, that he was going to bruise. He was going to bruise that head of Satan, that he was going to strip him of his power, that he was going to take away his power to hold the people of the Lord in death. David is prophesied of what? Prophesied of the perfect holiness of Christ. Prophesied of the perfect holiness of Christ. Say, how? Listen. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall ascend, and he shall stand in that holy place, says David. He shall receive a wide entrance into that holy place, into the gates of that eternal bliss. Oh, he is going to stand there, and he is going to be given a place upon the throne of that kingdom. Thus, we have a proof of the fulfillment of perfect holiness in the human nature in Christ. There is proof of the perfect holiness of Christ in that human nature. Otherwise, he could not be accepted into that place of glory. He that hath clean hands. Thus we have the great wonder. The great wonder of this entrance into heaven. Because it is the entrance into heaven of the human nature that had been closed. It had been closed. And here we see that it is now open. Is that a wonder also to us? Let us sing. Psalter 58. 58. Ye gates, lift your heads. The glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory, high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. All the stanzas of Psalter 58.
Thank you.
Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Is that congregation now ever our question? That is an important question. That is an eternally important question. Do you ever ask that question for yourself? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, you say, that condemns me, that closes the door for me, that makes me to stand on the outside. Manoah, he said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. That is the impression that the Lord is giving unto his people. That is impressions of the holiness of God and the filthiness, the sinfulness of their own existence. Do we ever feel it? Isaiah, he says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Are you on the list? You say, is anyone on the list? Can anyone now of man, is the whole world then lost? Is there anyone in the whole world that can enter into such conditions as these? Perfection, the holiness of the Lord. What does David say? We read it further. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Say, how is that? Does a man who has clean hands and he has a pure heart, does he now need to receive righteousness? Say, he has then his own righteousness. The gates, they will not be closed to him. We just heard that. As they were not closed to the Lord Jesus, he had his own righteousness. But what does David say now of this people? He says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. So what is David doing? David is distinguishing. David, he looks at all Israel, you know, just like the Apostle Paul did. He said, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. They are not all truly God's children. And now David, he is making a distinction between the visible church and the invisible church, which is contained in it. He said, these are those that do seek the face of the Lord. It is those, as it were, he says, that do seek those clean hands and that pure heart that would not lift up their soul unto vanity or swear deceitfully. This is that generation, he says, that seek the Lord, O Jacob, O Israel. For them, the religion is not just form, it is not just custom. No, there is something that lives in their heart. They want a new life. and sin that has become their enemy because the Lord they have begun to love. And it is that holiness of the Lord that they now also desire, that they may come into the presence, the favor, the communion with Him. Thus, it speaks about a sanctification, that the Lord would do away with that enemy of sin, not only for forgiveness, that they may receive a right to enter, but also that they may be cleansed, that the Lord may do away with sin, that they may be upright in their hearts, and that they may live a holy life, that they may be brought to dwell with the Lord. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? No, David does not say that is now a perfect people, that is a people without sin. He says that is this is they, those that do seek Him. These are they that desire to be holy. They cannot attain to that holiness. No, Paul, he says, O wretched man that I am. And yet, David says, heaven that shall not be closed to that people. That is not what they fear. Because they say, I have not that righteousness. That righteousness, I have not those clean hands. And the older they become, the worse it gets. Because they see more and more all that lives in their heart, every sin, every wickedness, and they begin to fear. They tremble. But then David begins to sing. David begins to sing for that people. What does he begin to sing about? He begins to sing about the opening of the doors, the gates of heaven unto that King of glory. He begins to sing about the finishing of the payment that was for sin. And how that after that payment was finished, in the perfection of all the attributes of that mediator, how that he was received through those open gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Oh, that is the battle. That is that battle that true church cannot win. That to seek His face. Therefore, He came to fight the battle for them. He came, He took on His human nature that He may fight that battle for them. And now sin that had no dominion over Him, even though He was tempted like as we are in all points, yet he may say, which of you convinced me of sin? That is now that battle. And therefore, the heads of those gates, they are demanded to be lifted up for Him. They cannot remain closed. But with Him enters the entire church of God behind Him. Oh, they come behind Him as a glorious train, His glorious train, that generation that to seek Him. Oh, are we on that list? Are we on that list? Who are on that list? Speaks about a battle. A battle. It is a militant church. That militant church. It is an embattled church. Oh, they had to go into that warfare. And they had to go in actually without training, just like the children of Israel. They are called out of that land of Egypt. They were not warriors. They were slaves. Slaves of the devil. They did not know how to fight. And they are brought into the wilderness and they have so many enemies, all the enemies, the whole world. Everybody was against them because they did not fear the Lord.
And Satan, he is the prince of this world, and he instigated all those enemies to come against the children of Israel, and every battle, well, they won it. So how? Oh, they had to give the honor unto the Lord every time. Every time again, they had to feel their weakness, that they were not able to fight. They were afraid of their enemies. And every time again, oh, the Lord helped them, despite who that they were. Also, they had to learn and experience their weakness and their dependence. That is how it is in that people. They cannot win that battle. They cannot fight that battle. They have to experience the weakness of their flesh against that sin. Oh, Christ, he could answer that devil. He had no evil disposition. There was nothing in him and that loved that sin. There is everything in him that hated that sin. And thus he won that battle. And now for these who are fighting in that battle, oh, for them those everlasting doors, they were shut. They were shut because of their pollution. They were shut because of their disease. Lest they pollute that holy place of the Lord. But what does Paul say? But ye are washed. But ye are justified. But ye are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, they have received views, blessed views of the spotlessness of that Lamb of God. Oh, they have received views of his clean hands. Oh, they have received views of his heart that has not lifted itself up unto vanity. They have received views of his spotlessness, his soul, that heart that was pure. Oh, they have looked at him. And when he has shown himself, oh, they have received hope. Hope. When they could not enter because of their filth, because of their guilt, oh, then the Lord has given them hope. They have trusted in him as the God, we read here, the God of their salvation. It was to the joy of their soul. They cannot live without him, else all their hopes, they are perishing. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? That is now the question that people, just that people, they are so very often asking. Oh, these, they have no admittance, except they are following behind this King of glory, for whom that those gates, they are commanded by the highest authority. They are commanded to be lifted up. And now there is only one way that the people can enter. And that is if they are a member of that train, if they are part of that train that is following after this King of glory. Oh, it shall be such a wonder for them if they may be one that may so enter in that those gates, they are not closed behind him, but they remain open. Oh, they will remain open until the last day. Until the last, till the youngest day of this world. Those gates, they remain open until the last little lamb, the last little sheep part of that train, the disciples of that king, the subjects of that king, till that last one, he has come in. And when that last little one is in, then the gates, they are going to go shut. Then they're going to go shut. Then it is going to be
a great gulf that is fixed, like we read in the Word of God, so that those who would go from hence to you, he said, cannot, and neither can they come to us from thence, because the door that is shut, the everlasting doors, congregation, what an awful eternity. For everyone who does despise these open doors, the lifting up of these everlasting doors, those doors are open. That heavenly train that is not yet all in, they're still coming in. That is still open for those who do not have clean hands and who do not have a pure heart. If they might only but come behind him who may have those doors open to him because of his clean hands and because of his pure heart, he has never, can you imagine it? Has never once in his whole life lifted up his soul unto vanity. Unto vanity, people of the Lord. Oh, that door is open. Oh, only let us join that church militant. And then we shall be included in that church triumphant. Oh, only let our filthy hands and our wicked heart and our vain soul become a grief to us. Only let it become our burden, that we might become part of that generation that does seek him, and he will receive us. Oh, then he will receive us with open hands. Oh, then he will receive us in the way of free and sovereign grace. And these shall be permitted to follow him. Oh, for these, those doors, those everlasting doors, they shall be open. And they shall go behind, and they shall magnify and praise forever that King of glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O thou knowest the impossibility from our side. Thou knowest it, Lord, for thou didst come just for that purpose. Because our hands, they are no more clean, and our heart that is no more pure, and our soul that is vain and it is carnal, and there is none of us that is able to cure himself from this incurable disease of sin. O Lord, we lay ourselves before thee. O look upon us in thy mercy in the place where thou art. And could it please thee to make us thy disciples? O that we may become both young and old, one of those that generation that doth seek thee. And then we shall find thee, and then we shall dwell with thee forever and forever. Oh, convert us, Lord. Forgive our many sins. Bless thy holy word. Bring us safely to our homes. Prepare us for thy holy day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 422, the sixth stanza. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. And what follows in the sixth stanza of Psalter 422. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessed.